Well, we thank God for another beautiful day. Glory to God. We continue with our discussion on fear. And again, last Thursday, we looked at some other elements of fear. We looked at some other things about fear. We looked at the fear of the future. And we saw that Jacob, on his way, when God appeared to him, gave God conditions that will make God his God. And everything had to do with the fear of the future. If you keep me on my way, you give me food, you give me clothing, you do this and that, then you will be my God. That's a big one. And we said, thank God, because when Jesus came, those were the things that Jesus said, don't even bother. Hallelujah. All of those things Jesus said, don't even bother. Just seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of the kingdom. Those things will just be added to you. Hallelujah. And we said that Jesus did not say, once you seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of the kingdom, all of you will become multimillionaires. He didn't say, realistically, he didn't say so. When I hear ministers say, every Christian must be a millionaire, bam, bam. Where did the Bible say so? When Jesus was teaching us the Lord's Prayer, what he actually said was, give us this day, this one day, our daily bread. So Jesus has brought us to the understanding that God knows that you must eat, drink, sleep, cover yourself. Those are your basic needs. If God provides your basic needs, you are taken care of. You can have excesses, you can have a lot, but it is not the law. I hope you follow my point. It is not the law of righteousness. And he made it clear, the Gentiles are the ones who seek after these things. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing wrong about being rich, but let God just bring it in. Don't just pursue it with your life. Some of the richest people in the world are the most unhappy people. Riches don't make you happy. Believe me, we sometimes say that riches may give you material satisfaction, but they don't give you peace, they don't necessarily give you joy. Even material satisfaction, the richest people are the ones who are never satisfied. Are you following me now? It's a spirit, it's an evil spirit that causes you to fall in love with money. It is called mammon. You'll never be satisfied. I mentioned one man whose name is Madoff in America. He is supposed to go to jail for a long time. Very rich man. Fraud. Billions of dollars. Some people who dump their money into the seemingly good program. You know what they did in Nigeria of recent? Okay. That kind of thing. Some of the people who had their money with him committed suicide. It is finished. Well, sorry, for me, the loss of money will never mean that it is finished. Money is not my God. Jesus is my future. He is the determiner of my future. Hallelujah. It is not money. And by the grace of God, it never will be. They commit suicide. It is finished. Because you have lost so much money. The Lord is our hope. It's our future. We should not fear the future. I put in my note, how do you handle the concept of the future so that all fear is removed without removing the zeal to achieve something great? The fact that you do not fear the future does not mean that you must not achieve. Are you following me? It doesn't mean that you must not work. The Bible says, whoever does not work must not eat. You should work. And if God gives to you to be inventive, to know how to do things that will bring so much profit, it's a gift. Do it. Make the profit. Use your money for the glory of God. Are you following me? And use your money to bless people who do not have. And I said, oh people, listen, It's impossible for God to bless you with anything and deprive you from enjoying it. The first person who enjoys it is you. Are you with me now? If God has given you money, He expects you to enjoy the money. He expects your wife, your children, your husband to enjoy the money. But He expects you to remember the poor and the needy, the widow, the fatherless. And of course, you must bless His work with your substance. That is why God gives the money. Hallelujah. Somebody was telling me of someone who shortly after I returned, we met at a party, and I know that he had lost his job. Why he lost the job, only God would know. He would have been the last person who could lose his job in that establishment. But it must have shocked him. And surprisingly, they were calling others back, and he was still not called back. It could not be understood. Do you follow me? It was mysterious. So we sat down, he told me everything. Okay, I said, listen, it's a long talk. We have to pick it up another day because people are waiting for me. I said, let us just pray. And we just prayed briefly. Lord, your son is sitting down. He has the energy to walk. You said anyone who does not walk must not eat. He wants to walk. He is not being called back. Open the door for him. Let him be called back. And I left. And some time ago, he just called me, about 2 weeks ago. He said, we prayed on Saturday. They called me back on Tuesday. Glory to God. He said, but I still want to see you. I said, sure, let us see. Then his brother told me, he said, he told him, the younger told the brother, the one who was called back, told his brother, God has allowed me to learn some lessons when I lost this job. Like, when something happens in your life, may God allow you to learn the lesson. Yeah. And may He let you learn it right. Yeah. I was ministering to somebody. I talked with her from time to time. We discuss what is up. She calls me or comes to my house and we talk. And I said, listen, any time that I am having spiritual challenges, what you call problems, I have call them challenges. Are you following me? I said, if I have done the things that I know that I should do, and the thing is still there, then I would tell God, Lord, I believe you want me to learn something. Please let me learn it. And the person said, inyaliu. The person said, that will be a tough one. I said, well, whether you say that prayer or whether you don't say it, if God just wants you to learn something, the thing will be there until you learn it anyway. Do you follow me? Hallelujah. Amen. That is what I tell God. I say, Lord, I believe you want me to learn something. I have done everything. It is still there. It is persistent. You want me to learn something. Lord, please let me learn it. I want to learn it. And believe me, I learn. You learn to be a soldier by fighting. Are you following me? You learn to be a soldier by fighting. You learn to be a good one by fighting. You don't fight. We used to laugh in Nigeria. Generals who never went to war. Abi? In Nigeria, they were just generals. Some of them never saw war. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus said to us, don't worry about your future. Matthew 6. Don't worry. He said, look, by worrying, how many of you can add one little measure to his height? Because you are worried. I hope you follow my point. See, it is God who brings it about. He said, look at the lilies of the forest. He said, see how beautiful they are. They don't go to work. Praise the Lord. He said, look at them. They don't go to work. They have no job. That is where they sit. And God has clothed them and made them more beautiful than Solomon. That he said, Solomon in all of his array. You know, if Solomon had dressed up in his best, the lilies was still more beautiful. It's your father who does these things. He said, look at the birds. The sparrows. See how much do they sell them for in the market? 2 for 1 penny. Look at you, children of God. Are you following me? He said, it is your father who feeds them. He didn't say their father, because God is not their father. your own father can do this for them, and you don't think that your father will do much more for you. Who has the first right? Is it you or the birds? Do you follow me now? So why are you so worried about the future? I think I told you the last time, some people are so afraid, they don't want to get old. They think that old people must suffer. Do you follow me now? They think that old people must suffer. Why are you so worried? You know what Psalm 139, somebody open Psalm 139. Just begin to read from verse 1. Psalm 139, begin to read from verse 1.
O Lord, you have examined my heart.
O Lord, you have examined my heart.
And know everything about me.
Yes.
You know when I sit down or
yes.
stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell at the farthest ocean, even there your hands will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you.
Yes.
To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body.
Listen carefully. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body.
Knit me together in my mother's womb.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
Thank you for making me so wonderful complex.
Thank you for making me such a wonderful
complex.
Your workmanship is marvelous.
How well I know it.
How well I know it.
You watched me as I was being formed.
You watched me as I was being formed.
In utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark.
As I was woven together in the dark.
Of my womb.
Somebody with King James. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Marvelous are thy works.
Marvelous are thy works.
And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret. And curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance.
Yes. Before I was perfectly put together, you saw my separate parts. Are you following me now?
All my members were written.
In your book, all of my parts were designed there. Let me tell you. See, you have to know what he is really saying. Look, praise the Lord. See, you can read the scriptures, but the Holy Spirit must give you the life in the scriptures. Do we have an engineer here? Anybody? Engineer? Architect? Who has ever built a house here? You have a house built for you, or not that you are the bricklayer. Praise the Lord. Before you started to dig the foundation, what was the first thing you did? You designed it. He said you designed my part in your book. You sat down. You designed me before I was made perfect. When I was yet unperfect. When you have designed the house, is the house perfect already?
No.
Are you ready to move in?
No,
you still have to put the blocks together as designed appropriately. Every room has its own measurement. The living room has its own measurement. If your bricklayer makes a mistake, the house will not be the same. Are you following me? He says, God, you designed me so well, carefully designed me. Then you made my parts. When you get home, go and read it again. Read it in King James. King James is rich with meaning any day. He said, you first designed me. Then you made all of my parts. Then curiously, you now put me together one by one perfectly. Go and ask those who make automobiles, cars, buses. Before you ever see the car, what you will see are diagrams. Each part properly drawn to scale so that you will now manufacture the parts. That is why when your vehicle has a problem, you go and buy another part. The parts were made before the vehicle was made. Are you with me?
Yes.
They will now make the parts that have been properly designed. So when you now take one part, it must fit perfectly to where it belongs. Otherwise you have an engineering problem. The psalmist says, you have made me so wonderfully, so fearfully. And when God designs something, it is super. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, are you not surprised that he is not describing the same for the animals? God just commanded and they were made. Do you follow me now? Let the earth bring forth. The earth brought forth. When it came to Adam, the Bible said, God didn't say, let the earth bring forth. God used his hand. That is the detail that we are getting from the psalmist. God used his hand to finally mold the man, complete the man, put him together. Eh? That is you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So what are you afraid of? Put your confidence in God. Will I ever get married? Will I have children? I told you the other day, Omo Mew. Hey, Jesus, my children. And the psalmist says, what are you worried about? These children belong to God. They are the heritage of God. They are the reward of God. If you refuse to sleep on time and you decide to wake up early crying over your children, there is nothing that you can do about it. Go and sleep. God gives his beloved sleep. Give Jesus a clap of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Don't be afraid. Trust God. Nothing. You know, we read the other time, Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, and that's all they can do. He said, fear God who can kill the body and destroy the soul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus said, look at the sparrows. He said, they're worthless. He said, but one of them will not drop dead without God. He said, so the hairs on your head, we mentioned it. He said, your hair are numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, one of them will not drop except your father knows about it. And I said that day, why do you number something in your office? Inventory. Have you? So when one is not there, where is number two? God is watching over every part of you. And this is the hair that you go to the barber shop. You just cut. You cut it. You don't even think about it. Are you following me? Unless God says yes, Jesus says it will not happen. You know the interesting thing? When Jesus was arrested, taken before Pilate, it came a time when Pilate said, you don't answer my question. Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and I have the power to set you free? Jesus said, there is nothing that you can have unless it is given to you. The same statement, put it another way. Unless my God has given you the power to crucify me, you cannot do it. That was his own teaching. And now he applies it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I want us to look at somebody today. It's a story that we know very well. I will not bother that we open the Bible. You can go home and read Genesis 13. Father Abraham and Lot. The fear of the future. Father Abraham and Lot. God had called Abraham. We have mentioned him during these studies, but now we're going another dimension. God had called Abraham and said, leave all of the Chaldees, your father's place, your father's house, come and go to a strange land where I will bless you. And Abraham obeyed. But when Abraham was going, he took with him Lot, who was not called. Are you with me now? He took with him Lot, because he was the uncle of Lot. Abraham's brother was the father of Lot, but he had died. Praise the Lord. So he took with him Lot. As Abraham prospered, receiving the reward of obedience, remember we said God said, I am your exceeding great reward. The reward of obedience was blessing. As Abraham was being blessed, because Lot was under his shadow, Lot was enjoying the blessing. Are you with me now? Praise the Lord. Abraham got so rich, Lot got so rich. Then the Bible said it came a time when the land was no longer big enough to contain Abraham's animals and Lot's animals, and their servants started to quarrel over the grazing land. And Lot did not say, my father Abraham, please, you brought me here. You are the one that God called. I came with you. Whatever you want, I am your child. They kept quarreling until Abraham decided to do something. Are you following me now? Now, what did Abraham do? He took Lot. He said, Lot, come. We don't have to quarrel over these things. People who trust in God, they don't break down over materials. They don't. He said, we don't have to quarrel over these things. He said, listen, look at the whole land. Choose wherever you want. If you go to the north, I'll go to the south. We won't meet. Chota, the Bible said, Lot stood. And Lot looked at all of the well-watered plains. Everything, all of the green grass. And he said, Baba, Enuel officer, you said it with your mouth. Here I go. From there all the way to there, I take them. And I said of people, I believe that Lot, Abraham must have stood there. And deep in his heart, he must have said, my goodness, this boy can be greedy. Hey, you have meat in the bowl. Your elder says, take one. Then you picked the biggest one. Another elder there will give you a knock on the head. Are you following me? Another elder there will say, look at you, look at you. But Abraham said, well, fine, I have said it. Go now. The Bible said, Lot took all of the well-watered plains and he moved and he went towards Sodom. Maybe Abraham was still standing there thinking. Are you with me? Thinking. This boy. The Bible said God came to Abraham. And God said, Abraham, don't worry. Don't worry. God said, look. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east and look to the west. All of it. Including every place that Lot has chosen. I will give you. May your blessing come from God. You can achieve some things by greed, but that is not the spirit of God. When God will bless you, like Jesus said, all these things will be added unto you. Abraham did not bother, but it was added unto him. Are you following me now? See, the word of God is the word of God. And the Bible said, Lot went and lived in Sodom. But the people of Sodom were the most wicked on the face of the earth. When he chose the material thing, he did not know the spiritual. Are you following me? He did not know the spiritual state of what he chose. He went there, not bothered. Wow, listen, all that glitters is not gold. It is not. A few years ago in the United States, I went on my visits, and we were in the church one Sunday morning when the pastor said that the church would have a meeting on another day. By the day that they would have the meeting, I would have gone. But he told us what we will meet about. He said that another church had invited our church. Let us merge. Churches do that. If they see that the strength the congregational strength is going down. They may invite another church, let us merge. Our church was very diverse. You find people from all over the world in that church. Chinese, South Americans, Africans, Americans, everybody, international. You follow me now? The other church was predominantly white, a few black people. So they figured that it was best to bring in our church for diversity in the merger. But when the pastor was reporting it, the pastor said, the church is very big. He told us the area of land. It's a massive, you can get lost inside the building. I'm not kidding you. You can get lost. And that is Christ Church International. You know, some of my members, you know them. They have been here on a mission trip in the past. Okay. He said in 1 year, the amount of money they collect is this much. They have this, they have... Then I sat and said, every reason that he has given to us, I didn't hear something particularly spiritual. It was an analysis of income and expenditure, area of land, and so on and so forth. I got troubled. Because in making decisions about things of God, I like to pray. I like to know. I got home and I prayed. I said, Lord, this is a spiritual matter. We have had the pastor. I want to hear you. And I slept. And I saw a vision. And I saw myself standing in one place. And I saw a set of golden spoons hanging. And I was looking at them, admiring them. A voice said to me, all that glitters is not gold. I woke up and I told my wife. I said, I know that the pastor has made up his mind. I said, but this is what the Lord said to me, that all that glitters is not gold. I said, I will be praying towards the meeting of the church and the decision. I said, but if the pastor moves this church to merge, when he gets there, he will discover that everything that he had calculated may not work out that way. They eventually had the election, and it was decided, let us go. So they marched. After 1 year, he had to resign. They were ready to fire him. As they were ready to fire him, he came in with his letter of resignation. And they said, oh, we were just going to fire you. So they took his letter of resignation, and he had to go. So when I came, I told my wife, see what I said? My wife said, a couple of other people in the church had given him similar revelation, but he had made up his mind. So at the meeting, the pastor had said, the Holy Spirit has told me, when people want you to keep quiet, they will harass you with the Holy Spirit. Said the Lord had told him by the Holy Spirit that it was good to do it. So when the pastor said so, people kept quiet. When you look at material things, please look at the spiritual component of what you are dipping into. Lord took all of the properties, went to Sodom. You know what happened at Sodom? Eventually, Sodom was overthrown. Now, look at Lot. The Bible said, God remembered Abraham and saved Lot. Do you follow me now? Okay. He remembered Abraham and saved Lot. But you know what happened? The two angels told Lot, Lot, out. Get out. We don't have time. We are ready to overthrow the place. Lot was slowing down. I'm going to escape? What about all of my animals? Are you following me now? Escape in the Bible. The word of God will say, you will escape with your life as a prey. Do you follow my point? That's, your life is more important to God than any other thing. You are the one who acquired the animals. If you are alive, you can acquire even much more. Everything that Job lost, didn't he get 3 times more? How he did? He won't go. The Bible said the angels had to pull Lot. They dragged him out. Out. They dragged him out. Are you following me? Yes. May we not be slaves to materials. Yes. What are you afraid of? This God has come to save you. Of all the people in the whole place. Why can't you get out? I was talking with the children the young ladies, Esther and others. Was it yesterday or the day before? We were talking about Lot's wife. Yesterday morning, we were doing family altar, and we got into talking about Lot's wife. They were asking about the pillar of salt. And I told them, there was a program back in the United States. I didn't see it. My siblings told me. I think it may be on Travel Channel. I don't remember now. They were talking about that area, the history of that area. And they were saying that the pillar of salt is still standing there today. And they went to the area, interviewed people, showed them the pillar of salt standing. And they said, the people in the area, you ask them, what is this? They will say, Lot's wife. That is what they call it, Lot's wife. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it is there. You know what he did again? After his wife got frozen, the angel said, now, flee to the mountain. You know what he said? My Lord, please, 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 fear of the future again. Do you see? Please, please, don't let me go to the mountain. If I go there, something bad may happen to me. Let me go to the plains, to Zoar. And the angel said, okay, we don't have time for argument. Go there. So the Bible said, he went there. And then the Bible said, and it came a time when the Lord overturned the plains where he chose to go to. The angels knew what was going to happen. But they had no time for argument. The angel of the Lord said, go to this place. What are you arguing about? Do you know better? But you have projected. If I go there, evil will be waiting for me. Terrible prophecy because of fear. And the Bible said, when God overthrew the plains, that Lord now had to move and go to the mountain and had to live in a cave for the rest of his life. And I said to people, I believe that if he had obeyed the first time, God would have met him there, would have made provisions for him. He would not have had to live in a cave because it was obedience. Do you follow me? Then the reward of obedience would have waited for him there on the mountains. Fear of the future. When we are so afraid of the future, we sin against God, frankly speaking. We sin against God because God should be our future. He should be the one we look unto. He gives you an instruction, you just follow the instruction. I share my testimony with people, and I have to share the testimony. Please, don't bother about me. Just appreciate God. Do you follow me now? Okay. And when I was in the university, and Obasanjo came, increased our salaries, lecturers. My salary at that time went from 15,000 to 70,000 overnight. Are you following me now? It was done in that period. Say that again.
I say Abdul Salam made it 15.
Abdul Salam made it 15. It was 8. It was 8. In this country, they treat the citizens like trash. A senior lecturer earning 8,000 a month. They treat the citizens like trash. I went to Ghana on sabbatical leave during that time, and my income was about 30,000 during that time. God will give us good leaders.
Amen.
He will give us leaders after his heart.
Amen.
Those who love the citizens of this country, God will make them leaders.
Amen.
Right now, the leaders are the enemies of this country.
Amen.
Yes. So, my salary went 15 to 70. That was not bad at that time. You follow me? That was good. And the Lord told me I had to quit. I have to think about the future. Are you with me? Let me tell you. There's no way you are living 70,000 a month to run Praise Assembly. Very small congregation. Are you with me? Very small congregation. You have to look at them and say, how can these people pay myself? You know, many pastors, they count the heads in the church and they figure, well, if each one pays his tithe, then my salary will be complete. Are you following me now? Praise the Lord. Ah, the Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. The Lord spoke to me in such terms that when I woke up, I went on my knees. I said, God, forgive me. The next morning, I got to my office. I wrote my letter of retirement and I put it in. After that, I now called my wife. And I told my wife, I have sent in my letter of retirement. And you know what she said? She said, count me in with your ministry. I said, what is my ministry without you? Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. You see, the first reaction could have been, all that income, what are we going to do? Eh? Well, the first thing she thought of was the ministry. Glory to God. And I have shared testimonies and testimonies. God has given me such peace. Let me tell you, that day when I put in my letter of retirement, I got home. I wanted to sleep. Peace came over me. Joy came over me. Satisfaction came over me. The thought of loss of income was besides the point. I have obeyed. Are you following me? It is obedience. I wanted to sleep. I threw myself on the bed. I spread my hands and my legs and I just like, thank God. You know? And then I saw a vision. I saw an egg. And as I was looking at the egg, the shell started to crack. And a day old chick came out. Chew, chew, chew. Then I was asking in the vision, Lord, what is about the day old chick? And the Lord said to me, you are coming out of your shells. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. You know what the shells are. You can never grow beyond them. Never. If the chick will ever grow and get big, it must get out of the shells. Many of us were in our shells. We are looking at things around us, and they are keeping us from really growing. I cannot boast of money now, I can boast of God. I can tell you He's a wonderful God. I share the testimonies place to place. My children in the US, I tell people, if I had refused to go, my children was, how do I pay school fees? How do I do this? Believe me, if they were paying me 1 million naira per month now, and I know if I was still there, pata pata, by now, I will be earning 200,000 a month. 250. Bam, bam. Don't worry about tomorrow. Obey God. Then wait. All of my children going to school? My son, the last born, going to high school? First in a public school. Then somebody said, oh, why don't you take him to a private school? Private school in America. You know what a private high school will cost in Nigeria? In America. We said, oh, let's go try. We went there one evening. The man who was the admissions officer was just leaving. We met him on the way, leaving his office. And we said, sir, we're looking for the admissions officer. He said, oh, he said, I am the one. Oh, we said, we want to see you. That this young man, we want him to come to St. Thomas. Bam, bam, bam. He went back, he sat down, he took information, took him. I said, fine. He said, we can admit him. But he has to take a test tomorrow morning. We said, fine. Then he came back to the test. Said it was okay. His fees in 1 year, about $12,500. We need help. He said, well, let me take you to the financial aid man. He took us there. The man asked questions. He said, okay, come back, I'll figure it out, come back tomorrow. We came back the next day. Out of $12,500, they will give him support to the tune of $12,000 a year. Give Jesus a clap of it. Now, look, if I had refused, and God had said, Oda, ma, shishelo, ma, toju angomaya, retain your job and take care of your children. All of my salary in how many years will not pay for that school. Super good high school. More expensive than University of Minnesota. You tell somebody you go to St. Thomas, they will look at you like you are not ordinary. Thank God we are not ordinary. We are wonderfully made. Fearfully made. God put us together curiously. Curious means people see and they say, are you following me? Glory to God. My youngest daughter, ready to go to high school. Smart girl. We looked at it. My wife said, what do we do? Will she go to a community school? Community schools are the cheapest. You follow my point? They're the cheapest. Most of them are 2 years only. You spend 2 years, then you go to a four-year college or university. Say, Then I said, don't worry. Funta, yes, daddy, come. Go and apply to any university that you like. When the time comes, God will take care of it. You cannot cross a river before you get to the edge. Said, okay, daddy. Then she applied. That was a particular university that she loved, not far from us, about 60 miles. Gustavus Adolphus, private university. They gave her admission. Her fees for 1 year, about $33,000. Me. God took care of it all. And she stayed in all 4 years. Hallelujah. And she finished. As she was graduating, we had a program in the church. One pastor, an American white man, came. And we were talking. And Americans ask you about your family. So I said, okay, one of them, the one has just graduated from Gustavus Adolphus. She did accounting. The man said, wow, that is a nice, expensive college. That was his comment. I said, Lord, me in America? Glory to your name. Give Jesus a clap offering again. Hallelujah. Don't fear the future. Throw yourself in the hands of the Lord. Let him drive you on. Hallelujah. God is good. Then my second daughter, I'll close with that one. My second daughter wanted to go and do her master's. This one that did accounting started to work in Philadelphia. There are two very good schools in the area that my second daughter wanted to do her study, which is social studies, social work. One is in Philadelphia. The best one in America is in Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. The best. When you say this particular major in America, that department in Michigan is the best. She applied. The first thing was that she wasn't too enthusiastic about it. She applied late to Philadelphia. Her friends who applied before her got negative results. She applied late. And they replied and admitted her. One of her friends said, but you applied late. What? How does God care? Praise the Lord. How does God care? And it would cost her about $58,000 a year. Education in America? No wonder they get to the moon. Yeah, education is a joke. It's a joke. So they gave her financial aid. I don't remember the amount, but maybe like 50,000 out of 58. Hey, beautiful. But we still have to come by 8,000. Where from? Are you with me? $8,000. And the other one was so happy, we are going to be living together. But she had applied to Michigan also. The deadline to accept, there is a deadline for acceptance. The deadline had expired. So they had thought, I'm going to Philadelphia. And then she said, even if they admit me at Michigan, I still prefer to go to Philadelphia because Punta is there. We can live together. And she said, unless if they give me more financial aid, then I will have to go to Michigan. She just got an email one day from Michigan. They admitted her and gave her financial aid to everything that she would need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. $58,000 in 1 year. How much can you be paying me if I did not go, if I did not obey? I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. And we said that day, it is the reward for obedience. It is the reward for obedience. Where would I go? Glory to God. Glory to God. She graduated in September. Everybody you hear on the television, the state of the economy in America. People are losing their jobs. In some places where they don't want to lose their jobs, they will agree with the management. Reduce our salaries so that we can keep our jobs. My daughter graduated in September with her master's. She started a new job 2 weeks ago. Just what she wanted. When they called her and told her, we have given you the job, the amount she was asking for, they were going to give her like $3,000 less. She said, but the amount, they said, don't worry, when you get here, we can sort that out. when everybody is in drought. Your field can produce more than ever before. God has done it before. God does not know drought. He does not know famine. He does not know a bad economy. He is God. Trust God. Glory to God. Tell the one who is sitting by you, fear not.
Fear not.
I say fear not. Trust the Lord. He will do it. Turn to the other side. Fear not. Fear not. I say fear not. Trust the Lord. He will do it. He is God. Don't limit him in your life. Give Jesus a mighty clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. It shall be well with you. In the name of Jesus, it shall be well with you. Thank you, Jesus. Do we have questions, comments? Anything to bless us by? Anybody? Briefly? Briefly. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just want to encourage us as the man of God has said that we should leave our children into the hands of God. He will help us. My daughter is getting up a preacher since she started initially because the father lost his job and there's no contribution for anywhere. So just God and me. It happened that last year, in fact, it was. I was running up and down. So this year I told her I will not run anyway. I've handed everything to God. And I thank him for the only one who feels shame. So miraculously, by the grace of God, I refuse to go to any party tomorrow or to beg. Do you know God did it that she had more than enough? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Comment.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about fear of the future, and to a very great extent it is born out of insecurity. We feel so insecure, and that's why we are afraid of the future. But there's no questions to life that the Bible does not have an answer to. And I discover, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, there's a three tripod that God gives on which our lives must thrive. Three tripods.
A tripod.
Yes. On which our lives thrives, moves, and succeed. Now, many of us, we know Keke Napep, isn't it? You know Keke Napep, how many wheels?
Three.
Just three. For it to move. If it is two, it will not move. If it is one, it will not move. But on that three, it will move. And our life is to move on this three tripod. I'll quickly read the last verse of it. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. This three, but the greatest of this is charity. You know, faith, hope, charity. But unfortunately, like Baba always says, that in our churches, much of the things we hear is not teaching. So we hear so many other things, but not teaching of the word of God that can help us to live. We have had much about faith. I won't even say much. We have very little. But how much teaching have we ever had on hope? Hardly. If you can, let us count. This year, how many teachings have you had on hope anywhere? We hardly had hope. Even the little that has been said about love, how much of it do we know? And how much of it do we practice? But in confronting life, and there's a reason for that. Why these three are very important is that they can never fail. If you look at from verse 1 to that, the Bible said that every other thing can fail. So if you are confronting life based on several other things that can fail, you know, they will fail. But if our life is based on these three, we will confront life with love, we will confront life with faith, we will confront life with hope. Will succeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Let us begin to pray. Let us begin to pray. Were you standing up to talk? No. Okay. Let's begin to pray. Let's just bless the name of the Lord. Let's give thanks to God. Our God is good. Our God is forever good. There is no one like Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for your life. Magnify the Lord. Bless the Lord. Forget about your bank account. I can tell you the balance in my own, but God is good. God is good. He's so good. He is just awesome. It is not by your bank account that God blesses you. It is according to His own riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will order your blessing, and the blessing will catch up with you, and the blessing will overtake you. That is what He said in Deuteronomy 28. It's not your account. Forget it. Just bless God. Just magnify Him. Thank you, Father. Thank God for your children. And thank God for removing anxiety from your life, for removing fear from your life, the fear of whatsoever. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Nítorí pé ẹ̀yin ni Ọlọ́run tẹ́ ń bá wa sọ̀rọ̀, a dúpẹ́ orí ọ̀fẹ́ náà yìí tí ẹ̀yin Ọlọ́run ti fún wa. A dúpẹ́ nítorí pé ẹ̀jẹ̀ kété wa kó di sí òtítọ́ ọ̀rọ̀ yín. A dúpẹ́ nítorí pé ẹ̀yin Ọlọ́run sí wa ní ojú. A dúpẹ́ nítorí pé ẹ fẹ́ wa, ẹ sì yàn wá fẹ́. Olúwa ẹ wá gba ọ̀pọ̀ ẹ wa, Olúwa ẹ wá gba ẹ̀yìn wa. Àní bá a ṣe gbọ́ àwọn ọ̀rọ̀ wọ̀nyí, Olúwa ẹ má jà gbọ́ sí ìparun. Bá a ṣe gbọ́ wọn fún ìgbà lọ́kàn wa, ẹ jẹ́ ká lè fi fún ẹlòmíràn bẹ́ẹ̀. Olúwa ẹ wá ràn wá lọ́wọ́. Àwọn tẹ́ ń lò fún wa ní orúkọ Jésù, Olúwa ẹ má ṣe pa wọ́n tì. Ẹ má ṣe wọ́n lé ohun èlò àpáti. Ẹ túbọ̀ fún wa pẹ̀lú agbára ẹ̀mí mímọ́. Ìmọ̀ àti òye ẹ̀yẹ Ọlọ́run ẹ jẹ́ kó túbọ̀ máa darí wọn. Bàbá àti ọkàn ẹnì kọ̀ọ̀kan wa léyìn lọ, gbogbo tó ń bà wá lẹ́rù, gbogbo tó ń já wa láyà, gbogbo tá à ń rò tó mú ìmí kan lẹ́bọ̀ ọkàn wa, ní orúkọ Jésù la gbàdúrà. Olúwa ẹ bá wa mú kúrò, Olúwa ẹ wá ṣàánú fún wa. Ẹ jẹ́ ká lè gbẹ́kẹ̀ wa léyìn títí ò pẹ̀lú wa ní ìkẹyìn ká lè jogún ìjọba ọ̀run. Àgbẹ̀yìngà Olúwa torí pé ẹ ti ṣe é, a máa dúpẹ́ torí pé ẹ̀yin ni Ọlọ́run wa, ní orúkọ Jésù Kristo Olúwa ni a gbàdúrà.
Amen. Give Jesus a good clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen.